So more the actual circuit design.
Actual circuit design.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Also, all our airtight amplifier mm-hmm. try to utilize the micro resonance generated by the vacuum tubes.
Yes. Yep.
And I think many other other manufacturers are trying to kill those micro vibration.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But we are trying to utilize
to work with them.
Yes.
And welcome back to Not an Audiophile. This is episode 42, season 2. Hey, today we have a very, I always say this, but it is an interesting interview with Yutaka Jack Miura from Airtight in Japan, the owner or founder's son. And he's taken over the company and is running it in a very particular way, which brings me to a thought, if you like. It's not a hi-fi rant, as sometimes we have. It's more of a just, it's perhaps something that people who buy equipment and listen to equipment don't think about very much, which is who makes this and why and how. Now, to some people, it really doesn't matter. It sounds great. I'm enjoying it. I hope it lasts forever, blah, blah, blah. But there's different kinds of companies, and it's pretty obvious. I mean, there's enormous corporations, you know, who go around buying up large hi-fi companies, and I guess that's a very particular way to make something. I think we know how that works and why. But then there's other companies. There's smaller businesses, and there's micro businesses, I guess. But then there's different kinds of those smaller manufacturers, and there's ones with enormous history, ones with research and development that goes back decades, maybe goes back 50 years. Who knows? And they'd go about things in a very particular way. And their motivation is enjoyment of music and making a living more than making a fortune. So without any further ado, let's have a listen to Jack. For the discerning audio enthusiast, performance and precision matter. That's why March Audio employs Purify technology to engineer award-winning loudspeakers and amplifiers. They deliver sound that truly transcends expectations, all available at an entirely modest cost. Go now to marchaudio.com and check out more of Alan March's engineering feats, including a sale price on the 501 amplifier. March Audio, for the discerning audio enthusiast. I would like to, I guess, request or ask everyone who enjoys this podcast to not just like and subscribe, as everyone says these days, and there are reasons for that. It's because simply that's how the internet works, and if we don't ask you and you don't do it, basically our podcast disappears into oblivion, and that's why everyone asks you to do it. And the other thing that's even better than that is that you tell a friend who loves hi-fi equipment or listening to people talking about hi-fi equipment about the podcast. That's even better, and that's what we'd really love you to do. Of course, you can comment at YouTube. You can watch videos at YouTube. In fact, there's a YouTube of the Melbourne show this year, 2025, which includes Jack is in the video and the room that he had some amplifiers in. And there's also episode 37 of the podcast where myself and David Carrazza wrap up the show that was, you know, an incredibly great show this year. So enjoy. Like I say, Jack explaining how he runs the wonderful Airtight tube amplifier manufacturing business in Japan. Today, not an audiophile at the Melbourne Hi-Fi Show, we are with, to some degree, a legend of tube amplifiers from Japan, Yutaka Jack Miura. It is an absolute pleasure to have you on the show, Jack.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you
for having me.
Don't worry. I think we're going to find out some interesting things about what you do. Airtight, as a brand, I think is extremely well known worldwide. I feel like I've kind of grown up with it, knowing it's around, but A, you don't look old enough.
Yes, actually, Airtight was founded by my father.
Okay, that's
back
the
in 1986.
Yeah, okay.
And I joined Airtight only 8 years ago.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yes.
So well, you.
And it's. little bit of family history.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
My grandfather, Kinji Yoshikawa, is a co-founder of Luxman.
Okay, that's some interesting history. Yes. Okay.
So. And my father was the first college graduate out of entering to Luxman.
Yeah, okay.
And
your father was?
My father,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
And married with a founder's daughter. That's my mother, and here I am.
Wow. Okay, that's amazing. So, Luxman, 1925? When did Luxman start?
Good question.
It was a really long
time. I think they are celebrating 100 years.
I'm going to say, I'm sure the old logos. I sold Luxman years ago. In the the old Luxman days, the 80s and the 90s, and
that was called Kinsuido when my grandfather started the company.
Okay, yes.
And basically, it was they had a family business of making picture frames.
Okay.
And he, my grandfather and his eldest brother, started this company importing radio components and start making textbook for making radio and stuff.
Yeah, okay. Mm.
And that's and later they start making components by themselves, and that's how Luxman's or the Lux Corporation started.
Yeah, so Lux Corporation, and so in really, so your grandfather was involved, prior to 1925, in fact, doing the components.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
But anyway.
Luxman is, of course, everyone loves Luxman for all sorts of reasons. I mean, as much for its beautiful aesthetic and appearance and the way it's made as the beautiful sound. Your brand is not dissimilar. It's, it's clearly very, very well made. And I suppose I'm going to jump to the obvious question straight away.
Yes.
Do you still make it in Japan?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Every product.
Yes.
We have as an airtight is all made at a factory in Takatsuki, Osaka.
Wow. Okay.
And you are welcome to come to our factory anytime and see all everything.
See it all being made. Do you make a lot of the amplifiers there? In the sense of the casework or transformers?
Of course, we're buying a chassis from subcontractor we've been dealing for the past 38 years.
Is that right?
Yes. Buying output transform from Tamura and Hashimoto. We buy main components, but all assemblies, including, let's say, making a power amplifier circuitry board.
Yeah, yes.
We are getting the copper board with a drill, hole drilled from a supplier.
Yes.
And we do putting
the
pins
board.
And do all the assembly.
Okay, so you make the circuit board. You don't make the fiberglass board, but you assemble the circuit board in-house.
Yes.
In other words, you make really as much as you can. I mean, you would never. It's a very specialized job making transformers, as an example. You would best leave that to the experts.
That's our idea.
Yes.
Of course, we can definitely try.
It's not economic. Doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense hiring a new people for transformer design and transformer manufacturing. Yeah. And we have a reliable supplier that we can trust.
Yeah.
And so we will leave it to them to make that.
So, transformer. Airtight has been going. Did you say 1986? Six.
So we are at 39th year.
Yes.
And we'll be celebrating our 40th year next year.
Next year, yeah. Which is a pretty good birthday. That's a long time.
Yes, sir.
And I mean, we're at the show. I think I mentioned that at the start. The room that you have here, you're sharing with a great Australian product in the form of Mark Doman's turntable, which tends to sound very good. And you've got And I just call them the Slate speakers that Jeff Haynes sells, which, you know, can sound surprisingly fantastic. But the sound, when I walked into your room yesterday the first time, you were very happily putting on a record, and I'm going to forget the name of it, but it's in our video that's up on YouTube as we speak.
Okay,
and it's got the music. And it just, it sounded so alive.
Oh,
like,
thank
so
you.
Dynamic and just exciting. I was genuinely impressed. How would you describe the balance or the kind of sound that an airtight amplifier produces, maybe compared with other tube amplifiers? Because it seems to have a very lively sound. I mean, it's still beautifully clean and sweet, but you know, is there a philosophy at Airtight about how the amplifiers should sound?
Well, first of all our products have to be made for make your listening experience fun.
Yes, okay. So it's about fun.
Yes.
Yeah, good start.
Yes. And I cannot really compare my product with others, but of course when we design a product, of course we have a concept for each product.
Yes.
And then from the concept, we decide what type of tubes to use and what the power rating need to be and so on and so on.
Yep.
And we follow the original principle, product concept through the design. And of course, you know, we trust our ear, but we also trust measurements.
Yes.
So we do a lot of measurement, making sure that our product meets the industry's standard.
Yeah, of course.
And only after that, our work as an amp builder starts.
Yes.
That's when you have to test a lot of components, different components, mechanical constructions and so on.
As part of the general quality control processes?
As a part of designing the sound.
Okay.
Of course.
Yep. Yep.
You know, sonic performance have to be great.
Oh, so you're meaning you try, if you need a particular, say a 12AX7 or something, you will try a lot of 12AX7s and see which one you want to use. Is that part of it, or is it a bit more subtle than that?
That's more easier things.
That one, well, it's easy to hear
course,
the difference.
Of course, you know, changing the parameter for negative feedback the...
So more the actual circuit
actual
design.
Actual circuit design.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Also, all our airtight amplifier try to utilize the micro resonance generated by the vacuum tubes.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, and I think many other manufacturers are trying to kill those micro vibration.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But we are trying to utilize
to work with them, so to speak. Yes.
And
are you familiar with Edgar Kramer? Well, you should be. He's Australia's most renowned hi-fi reviewer. And his website, soundstageaustralia.com, is, well, quite amazing. Incredibly detailed, well-written reviews on all sorts of interesting hi-fi components, interviews with industry luminaries, factory tours, and, of course, news. Don't forget, Soundstage Australia is part of Soundstage Global Network. So when you're finished with this podcast, go to soundstageaustralia.com and check it out.
By good engineering and good engineering, and if you can really utilize this micro vibration in a good way, that will give you open up the sound stage and give you dynamics in sound.
Well, it seems to work because that's how it sounds.
Yes. All our amplifier.
Mm-hmm.
Utilize monocoque chassis, meaning one piece of metal fully welded as one box.
And is that from aluminium
from carbon steel?
Carbon
1.6 millimeter thickness.
Pretty heavy. Yeah.
It could be. It cannot be 2 millimeters, or it cannot be 1.2 millimeters, or it cannot be aluminium, because that will all change this micro resonance.
I was going to say, so the thickness of the material, the carbon steel that you fold up to create your monocoque, Yeah, so you've tried different thicknesses, and 1.6 is the magic number.
Magic number for us.
Wow, okay.
And also, if you have any bracing
yes.
in this the box of yes. the chassis, that will also change the resonance.
Well, will change the resonant nature yes. of the chassis, obviously, yes. which is yeah, obviously assisting with your...
That's correct.
The way the tubes are functioning.
I think this is very interesting things. And I think in the beginning, yeah. when my father and Mr. Ishiguro, co-founder of Airtight, yes. Designed the first ATM1 yeah. amplifier,
yeah.
they didn't realize it, but we... It was like 10 years ago when we really realized what's happening and why our amplifier sounds different from
so,
the others.
Yeah. So they, your father and his partner got it right to some degree by accident all those years
ago. I guess so. So we were a lucky one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's one of those things where you build a piece of audio equipment mm-hmm. and it sounds... when you're developing something, you try different ideas, and then you try something and it just sings. It just, you go, well, that's special, but sometimes you don't know why. And these are things that, so you, in later years, when you became involved, did you start doing a certain amount of research and development to try to understand what your secret sauce was, so to
yes.
speak? And that was part of it, obviously.
Yes.
Would you care to tell us what some of the other secret sources are? I mean, there must be other aspects of your design that you feel are very, very important as far as creating the sonic signature that your amps produce.
Well, be honest with you, there's no secret.
There's no secret?
Many people ask me, what mm-hmm. is your secret for making Airtight sounds like Airtight?
Yes.
I say, nothing.
Right.
You know, we do not use any special component.
No.
Of course, some of the big volume port is custom made by Alps for
yes.
Airtight.
Yeah.
But we do not use any special capacitors
no.
or resistors. It's all available from market.
Have you?
And it's orchestration. How do you orchestrate
yes.
and coordinate and balance out
yeah.
and you know not it, the most expensive component sounds mm. the best.
No, it's the overall design, and the combination of benefits of just really good design and obviously very good quality components, but not
of course.
But not, I hesitate to use the expression, but I will anyhow, hi-fi jewellery type brands, which you say you just don't have. So you
well,
still use,
course,
a, you'd use a very good quality capacitor.
Some capacitors are from Mundolf,
yeah.
Some capacitors are from Audience, which
yes.
it considers
yeah.
audio quality
yeah.
very expensive, and some resistors are very expensive.
Yeah.
But
you use them just where you need them, though, just in the
yes,
very critical
yes.
spots.
Yes, a spot where it worth spending the money. To
yes, yeah.
And again, you know, when we built the prototype, we do a measurement and we tweak until all the measurements are good.
Yes.
Then our work starts.
Okay.
And we change component here, there, we change design here, there,
mm-hmm.
and then we came up with a, design.
A finished product, yes.
Yes. Well, I hope you can feel that by listening to our product, comparing to other tube amplifiers. And
I think
we are, for ATM1 product we have at the show this
yes,
time,
yes.
It took us about 4 years to complete.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Wow, okay.
We made a prototype, we made several changes, and
the ATM1, it's not outrageously expensive though, is it?
It is our, ATM1 is our entry model, considered
yes,
entry
yeah.
model, and
I honestly can't remember. We'll edit this and just add the Australian price in.
Okay.
Because I don't think it's very much money, is it?
I believe so, compared to, you know, modern audio
products. What
does
it sell? Do you know the US dollar price?
US dollar price should be about 13,000.
13,000, yeah. So it's about 20,000 in Australia. Mm. Yeah. So it's not outrageously expensive for a...
Well, of course, it's very expensive. We understand.
Well, but, yeah. But it's not... It's, there was a time when a $20,000 amplifier was... an expensive, like it was like, wow. Right, right. And now that you can add a zero to that. And even there's no wows at 200,000. There's wows like it better sound amazing, which sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
But you can but trust 20, me, 000. I'm not putting that money in my pocket.
Yeah.
So I am driving Honda Fit to office every day.
What do you drive? Honda what?
Honda Fit.
Honda Fit.
So I'm not driving, you know, Armageddon or Mercedes-Benz or Ferrari or anything. So, you know, our cost.
Yes, yeah.
And MSRP ratio.
They are very similar.
Economical, reasonable.
Yes, yeah. And that's what I was getting at, that they're quite good value for money because just to sum up the way they're made, I mean, there's a fair bit of point-to-point wiring, I think. You've got circuit boards in them, but there's a certain amount of point-to-point wiring as well, is there?
Yes.
So it's very labour-intensive, right?
Yes.
So you have, I mean, who do you have... Do you have a team of people? I mean, I have no idea of how many amplifiers a year you make. I'm guessing it's quite a large amount for a small company.
Well, we have six people our production floor.
Yeah.
And in average, we are making about 350 to 400 amps per year.
So it's a pretty exclusive product then as well then at that price. I mean, that's not a lot of amplifiers. Right. Yeah, but then so six people, and what sort of people do you have that do that such delicate work assembling the things, soldering and bending wires and what have you?
You know, I'm not trying to be racist or discriminator or anything, but all amp builders in Airtight are women.
Yes.
Married,
yes.
With kids,
they're all 50. No,
above 40.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I mean, and we had the men.
Yes,
we had the young men. We had the young ladies.
So you've tried a few.
We have the single women.
Yeah.
But mothers.
Yes,
they are first of all. Excellent in keeping your factory extremely clean, neat and clean.
That's a good start.
It's
not because they do the cleaning; it's because they don't throw rubbish everywhere.
They are excellent.
Yeah.
In focusing on something.
Yes.
And they are excellent in.
Working hard.
Working hard, yes. Yeah. Because you know, some women working for us need to leave at 3 to pick up
kids.
Yes,
yes.
So her working hours are limited.
Yeah.
So she really focuses on this.
Yes.
And
so do they come in at like 9:30 or something?
They come in at 9.
Yeah.
And some
finish at like 2:30 or
leave at 3, some leave at 4.
Okay, yeah.
But our factory,
yes,
completely closed at 5.
Okay,
no matter what,
okay,
no matter how much back order we have,
yeah,
everything starts from 9 and close at 5.
I like that, and that's civilized for a start, and secondly, it allows you to really you keep the quality up, right?
Yes,
you start. You're organised, you concentrate, and you go home at a sensible time.
Yes.
And that must mean that your reliability, I would imagine, would be extremely high because there is no time when people are not paying attention to what they're doing.
Yes. Out of six people at the factory, three are with us for over 70 years.
Wow, okay.
One lady just retired.
Yes.
She was with us for 37 years.
37? So she was there at the start?
Yes.
Wow.
And so that's, I think, we are trying to, you know, pay them well, make sure they can stay with us, and more we do, of course, more they try to, get back to us, and, you know, we have, I think, a very good relationship with them.
Clearly,
And
it's like
a big family.
Oh, yeah, clearly. And 37 years is amazing. In fact, that's a record. I don't think I've known anyone who was there at the start of the company and still going. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Jack to talk more about Airtight.
Hey now, hi-fi. Jeff Haynes runs a fantastic boutique hi-fi store in Melbourne, but has an online presence that I guess spans the globe. It's Black Friday. Jeff is having a sale. Now, why would you go and check it out? Because it's different. Like everything Jeff does, it's a bit different. Have a look now. heynowhifi.com.au. Black Friday sale on now.
So we're back with Yutaka Jack Mura, who is the son of the founder of Airtight, valve amplifier manufacturing in Japan. They've been around for 38 years. But of course, as you mentioned at the start, Jack, your grandfather had some involvement at Luxman. Oh, that's right. He started the company with assistance from his partner, which is an amazing... It's not really a coincidence. I guess it's just that as a family, you've kind of been interested in music and electronics for a very long time, for multiple generations. Mm. You took the company over 8 years ago. Mm. Did you have an interest... Like, what did you do in your life, in your work life, or before that? Were you... Like, were you in electronics or music or a bit of both? Or
I started playing guitar from junior high school.
Oh, okay.
And forming a band in high school and college, and maybe 5 years after graduating from college. But I was working for a trading company after graduating from college. My job requires an extremely long hour working.
Yeah, okay.
You know, going to office before 8.
Yeah.
And leaving office around 11:30 or midnight.
Oh, wow.
And this continues all weekdays. And
So we hear those stories about that Japanese work culture, that office work culture.
Yes, that's a long time ago. So that was a culture.
Does it still happen now? Is it still a thing, or is it kind of? I mean, that's what you did for years,
yes,
obviously.
I think it's changing.
Yeah. Okay.
But actually, I enjoy it a lot.
Because you like the job, obviously.
Yes. It was a very, very interesting job for me.
Okay.
Of course, it was very difficult and sometimes very tough.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy doing my job as a trader.
And then I guess about midnight, you've got to go to a club and start drinking as well. I mean,
yes.
So what time do you get home? About an hour before hour after you have to go to work?
Yes. So one time for like a... 5 or 6 years, I was not eating my dinner in the same day.
In the same day? Is that right? Yeah. Like you skip a whole day?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
But I really enjoy what I do. It was about 12 years ago.
Hmm.
I was assigned for a position in United States.
Mm-hmm.
And when I returned to Japan for New Year's, to celebrate New Year holiday.
Yes.
I see my father, and he's, I believe he was like 82 or 83.
Yeah.
And I think I see his health is...
He's getting older.
He's getting older.
Yep.
And For a while, he was asking, you know, if I am interested in taking.
Yeah.
I said no.
Yeah.
Because I really was enjoying my previous job, but
yeah.
But one time I thought, you know, this might be
a change at least.
Yeah, change, and that's something that I have to. I know, you know, he was hiring many people, and you know, and also this is something that, you know, my grandfather started.
Yeah, that's
my
right.
My father started, and you know, I could just let it, you know, let my father go and close this business. But I saw this must be something as a family business.
Well,
business
something. Yeah, I mean, it's a great tradition and a great business to carry on.
Right.
But it took you a while to sort of come around to the fact that you had been working for so many years in what you'd been doing in your own working life that it's quite a big shift to get out of what you've always done and go into something clearly you perhaps initially didn't know that much about.
Well,
even though you'd be kind of indoctrinated.
But it's interesting, you know, up until before graduating from college, I never buy audio equipment.
It's
you can always find something. You know, my first amplifier set is Macintosh C23, and some power. I forgot the name of the power amp and the turntable and Rogers speakers.
Okay, nice.
All right. And those amplifiers and turntables and speakers were all over at our house.
Is that right?
Yes, and I can just grab what I can find and bring
take
it to
it
my room.
It,
take
yes.
it to my room and
yes,
set yeah, up.
Yeah.
And I was enjoying this a lot.
Okay.
From very young.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, I mean, you were in the right place for it. I mean, and plus there's a system
so
in every room.
You know, audio system is not the new thing, you know.
No, it was
with me all the time.
Indeed.
Right? Yeah.
But not something that you needed to work with for a living, though.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. So, and how have you, because it's quite a recent change that you've taken the business over, how have you enjoyed it? I mean, is it, you don't miss your previous job?
Well,
you certainly don't miss the working hours, surely.
Well,
I guess
that's true.
You close the factory at 5 o'clock. Are you going home as well?
Yes.
You are? Wow, okay. So this is a different life for you.
Yes, very different.
Yeah.
The Hi-Fi Shop is the home of quality hi-fi. Experience the best of everything from affordable turntables to not-so-affordable high-end loudspeakers. Let Alex curate a complete system for you or have him using his technical background assist with your next upgrade. Visit in person or check the website hifishop.com.au for easy information on all of your favourite brands. Go straight to the top, speak to Alex at Hi-Fi Shop.
You know, I was devoting almost all my time to music, listening to music or playing music, you know, talking about new music about with your friends, and you know.
Yes.
After entering to junior high school, and that was my thing, but because my previous job was so busy. I kind of, and you are almost stressed all the time.
Yes.
That did not give me a motivation to listen to music.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it was too stressful.
Yeah.
And, but after joining Airtight, you know, it's like, you know, you are
rejuvenated.
Yes, I mean, yeah, you I can't find the good way. You're meeting with music again.
Yes, you rediscover it.
Rediscovering your music.
Yeah.
And now you are rediscovering the music you know.
Yes.
Using very high-end equipment, which is very, very,
It's the way to
mind-blowing and interesting experience.
Yeah, there's another. It adds another. I mean, better equipment obviously adds a. I mean, music can be listened to in all kinds of equipment. When you get to equipment with the quality that you're manufacturing, it does take it to another level of excitement. It's not just better sound. It allows you to hear more of the music, and it's what we're all here for, really. Right. What a story! Wow. No. And so, where do you see the future for Airtight? I mean, you've got a hell of a product range. You've got a lot of preamps, power amps, integrated amps.
We are a small company, but we do not want to, and some people suggest that we should just make a flagship, very expensive flagship amplifier, preamp, and maybe three models only.
Yes.
So that we can, you know, be more productive and beneficial. But I don't want to make my company like that. You know, I want to have an entry model.
Yeah.
You know, and various models that customer can choose and enjoy a different type of audio equipment from Airtight.
One that suits them.
That's correct.
You do have many choices.
Yes.
Do you see any real change? I mean, do you start looking at, you know, I mean, realistically, I don't expect that you will develop a DAC or a streamer or something, because that gets it's not really something that works. I mean, you can use tubes in those products, obviously, but in the audio out, the analog stages, but
we're not trying to do anything radical.
No.
But I am hoping to come up with a good headphone amplifier.
Okay. Yeah.
And there are many challenges we have to do. And, you know, you have to, first of all, buy so many,
a lot of headphones.
Many what's called high-end headphones, not cheap.
No. I mean, that's...
You need
to
get like more than 10 different types of headphones to really
sort of have
compare
a library of them. Well, that's... I mean, that's a bit of fun, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that would be fun. And we are... We already, this is an official product. We made some junction box that you can connect to with our 300B amplifier and play with Avis, one type of Avis headphone.
Yeah, okay.
And we made this box by request from high-end audio shop in Amsterdam.
Okay.
But we're hoping to do similar kind of things for other headphones.
Okay.
And hopefully one day we'll have the dedicated headphone amplifier.
Oh, so there'll be specific amps for specific popular good headphones. Well, that's the future. Well, look,
that's the near future.
That's the near future?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, what's the far future? One doesn't know. I mean, clearly...
I have no intention to try to make my company size double or anything.
No.
We want to stay as we are, and but we want to stay in this business for another 40 years.
Okay.
So the customer who buys our equipment will not regret 10 years, 20 years from now. We can still service our amplifier we made back 40 years ago.
I was going to ask you, because I it's a kind of an oldie worldy idea, but it's one that I like, is that where you buy a product in your 20s or 30s, and then as you're nearing retirement, you can still have it serviced and fixed and fixed up, serviced and refurbished.
Right.
And lots of manufacturers, smaller companies like yours, used to offer that service, and less now do it, and less feel that it's important. So it's great for me to hear that that's a goal that you would like to maintain.
Well, that's the benefit of, you know, tube amplifier, customer using tube amplifier, and especially amplifier without printed circuit board.
Yes.
If it's printed circuit board, when it's crack, then you're...
It gets hot, heated, corroded, what have you.
But in our case, it's all copper type of printed circuit board, so you can always repair. And even we disappear, someone else who have knowledge about tube amplifier.
That's right. Yeah, they
can repair that.
Absolutely.
Yes, but you know, us staying in this business should benefit customer.
Yeah.
I have a customer calling me about a month ago. He said, "I want you to do overhaul on this ATM2 amplifier."
Okay.
Because I wanted to pass on to my son.
Okay, yeah. Yes.
Which is a wonderful story
it is,
for me.
It is. And in fact, I feel that there's more of that happening as time goes on with great equipment from, probably a lot of it is from Japan, because of course the you know, the 60s, 70s, the 80s was, you know, if for brands such as Luxman was a great time. There was a lot of good, I mean, Luxman being perhaps key, but... of course, even, you know, Pioneers and what have you as well, they're very repairable and you can maintain them, but it's not something you can do with a modern amplifier, with the exception being amplifiers such as yours, where you can definitely keep them going.
Yes.
What do you see is the future of tube manufacturing? Because it must be, is it difficult to source tubes that are consistent and good quality at the moment?
How about one magazine, DDC in Japan, talks about the tube amplifier manufacturers in the world. And there are about 57 manufacturers named, listed.
Okay.
What's surviving is about 15, 16.
Yeah.
So this is, and I think this will continue.
Yes,
but
yeah.
I also see many like a Chinese manufacturers or the Eastern Europe manufacturer start making tube amplifier brands.
Yes.
And meaning there are demands for the tubes.
Yeah. I think the demand... I'm interested in your opinion, but I feel like tube amplifiers are not going away at all, in the same way as records and turntables are not clearly not going away. In fact, it feels like both are probably a growth industry. Has your business grown in the 8 years that you've, I mean, because you say you don't want to double it, right?
Well, actually, because we already doubled.
yeah, that's right. So you've doubled in the last 8 years.
And we do not want to stretch too much so that make ourselves very vulnerable from the ups and downs of industries. We want to keep us, I want to keep my company financially strong.
Yeah, of course.
So that I can keep those, you know, skilled amp builder in our house for a long time.
Absolutely.
Yes. And moreover, you know, I need to make sure that the customer who bought airtight product will not be regretted.
It's hardly likely they'll regret it. I mean, the trouble that you're going to make them and make them reliable, reliable and reliably, and then the backup service where you can source parts and repair them in house or what have you is a service that is going to become a rare thing, I believe. Yeah. Unfortunately,
more and more this our type of classical way of manufacturing tube amplifier is getting less.
Yes.
So we'll keep this forever. Actually.
Yeah. No, and that would be fantastic.
And we'll do our best to keep going.
Yep.
For another 40 years, and hopefully customer who bought our product now pass it on to their sons and maybe and to a granddaughter, grandsons.
Oh, and possibly a granddaughter.
Okay, possibly, yes.
Hey, thank you so much for
thank
your
you
time.
So much.
It is greatly appreciated. It's all very interesting. I think the audience are going to love the story. So thanks again, Jack, from
Airtight.
From
thank you so much.